But as we come to the preaching of God's word this morning, we'll be looking at verses 12 to 15 of 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find those verses on page 1298. As we begin this morning, I'll start by reading in the opening verse of chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and then read through verse 15. To hear now the living word of God. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. And the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. As we consider these verses before us this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. There's a question that I want us to think about. And that question is, if you knew that you were going to die soon, what would you do? If you knew that your death was imminent, what would you do? What would I do? I believe in these verses that Peter gives us the proper answer. I mean, things may come to mind of, well, I'd like to travel and go see Australia. I've never been to Australia. I'd love to see Australia. Or a host of other things. But when we, in the end of the day, what are the most important things that we could do before our life is done? And I think Peter here gives us a glimpse of where our hearts should be. And so what we will be looking at today is, while we still have our bodies, let us be established in the truth and live for Christ. While we still have our bodies, let us be established in the truth and live for Christ. And we'll be looking at this application in 2 points. While we still have our bodies, be established in the truth. And then secondly, while we still have our bodies, live for Christ. First of all, while we still have our bodies, be established in the truth. Peter begins in verse 12, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities." I intend always. Another way we can look at that is, I am always willing. There is a willingness here of Peter. These are important things that he is talking about, that he is writing about, and he is always willing to speak of these things. Now, as we consider this idea of always being willing to be reminded of these qualities, you know, I've mentioned before, when we think about important things, I've used as an illustration before, as we consider, as we're driving down the road, you know, there are a lot of road signs that we see. And if we really stop and we pay attention, we may just realize that there are even more road signs than what we actually see. I think the statistic used to be that we see only about a third of the road signs that are actually there as we're driving down the interstate. And why are those signs there, oftentimes saying the exact same thing over and over and over again? It's because it's important information that we need to have. There is a willingness of our government and our officials to tell us these things over and over and over again because they are important. And they can at times be life-saving. Now, as Peter is writing, he is always willing to tell us these things. And these things are the qualities that he has just mentioned in the previous verses. Now, if you recall from last week, those qualities that he goes through, beginning in verse 5, of for this very reason, make every effort with the energy of an athlete, make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge and so on and so on until we get to the end, to supplement, to support brotherly love with love that we're to have. That list from faith to virtue to knowledge and on down to love, it's the way that a way that Peter gives us to examine our walk in Christ and to, as he says, make our calling and election sure. It's a way for us in God's grace to look at, are we following Christ? It deals with assurance of salvation. It's important as we consider that it's not that Peter is saying that we base our salvation on those things, but it is a way and a grace of God in our lives to give us some measure of assurance in our walk with Christ. Because as we consider our life with Christ, as we consider how we live for Him in our walk of faith, what is one way that the evil one, that Satan, attacks you and attacks me? It's to call our faith into question. To call our status into question. It's that same whisper that he whispered in the garden, did God really say? Question what God has promised. And so God in his grace has given us things like these, the fruit of the Spirit, that we may look at that. And if they are absent in our life, if they're not growing, then it should be a cause for us to go to the Lord Christ and repent and to call upon him that he would work those fruits in us. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember the very first way, or how Peter opened his letter. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. And that plural ours, Peter writing with this apostolic authority. You know, the faith that we have, all Christians have the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that even a weak faith, even a weak faith that is assailed and that is struggling, is still faith. And it's not a faith in our works, but in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a work on the provisions that our Lord Jesus has made. And that is why Peter doesn't just jump in at verse 5 of chapter 1 and say, make sure all these qualities are in you. But after his greeting, he goes first and foremost to the divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ and his grace in giving us all things that are necessary for life and godliness. He then says, and after saying that he doesn't mind reminding you of these things. So that whole, what I've just gone through, is what Peter is referencing there. He doesn't mind reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ has, in his grace, in his divine power, given us all that we need. And he doesn't mind reminding us of the fruit of that work of Christ in us that we are to strive for to be seen in our life. And so he says, though you know them, these are things that we know. These are truths that we have close at hand. This truth that we have that is present with us. It is the gospel that he is speaking of. This truth, the gospel, that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has brought us to salvation, has given us all that we need, and in his grace will work through us the fruit of that salvation. These are things that Peter is always willing to remind us of. And brothers and sisters, should we not always be willing to remind ourselves of these things? And always willing to remind one another, our brothers and sisters, of these things? If we see a brother and sister that is wavering, a brother and sister that is having a weakness of doubt or unsure about their faith, should we not so gladly come and be willing to remind our brothers and sisters of these wonderful truths that God has brought us salvation? And these reminders are not just a reminder of, hey, you remember this or you remember that. Do you remember last week when we did this? It's, as Peter says here in verse 13, he says, I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder. It's a reminder for a purpose of moving us forward and stirring us up in the faith, of moving us forward in our walks with Christ, of moving us forward in how we hold fast to the truths that God has given us. You know, going back to the whole road sign illustration, you know, a road sign that you might see from time to time, especially in, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, is a sign that might say is slippery when wet. And usually, you know, those signs, slippery when wet, are when a dangerous curve in the road is approaching, or maybe it's a long bridge that stays a little, you know, more wet than normal. When we have these signs, those are signs especially that are repeated over and over again. And you can look at it, those signs are to be a stirring reminder to the drivers, pay attention. Put your hands at a right position. Maybe slow down a little bit and be cautious in the dangerous situation that is fast approaching. That is what Peter is doing here. It's to stir us up to right action. We know these things. This is the foundation of our faith. We know them. We've believed in them. We've assented to them. We hold them as true. But like so often, when we're driving down the road and we forget what's approaching, and we need a stirring reminder to wake us up and to bring us to attention again. That is what Peter is doing here. It's a stirring reminder. But as he goes on in verse 14, you know, why does he think it's so right for him to do this? He says in verse 14, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Now the last part of that verse, you know, we don't know how the Lord Jesus Christ made it known to Peter. We don't know exactly how that happened. But all we know is that it at some point happened. And Peter knows that his time on earth is coming to a close. The language that he uses here, it is imminent. It is at hand. It is close by. But Peter here isn't upset by it. And we can see that even in the language that he uses here. Because the language of, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, the way he speaks of death, it's the putting off of my body, it's the putting off of a tent, of a taking down of a tent, or putting off of clothes as we change for the day. It's a reminder in line with the truths that Peter is stirring us up to, is that this life is not permanent. That this life is transitory. And that death itself for the believer is not to be feared. Death for the believer is something that we should anticipate. That we should in some measure look forward to. Because in that moment we will be in the glorious presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will no longer be tainted with sin. We will no longer be tainted with the effects and curse of this fall as far as our souls are concerned. Because our souls will be made perfect in the presence of Christ forever. Now as we consider the transitory nature of this life, that's for the believer. But for those who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the transitory nature of this life, the fact that day after day we are faced with the recognition that life ends, that life comes to a close. And though we may try to cheat it, we may try in some way to ignore this truth, every single human being knows that at one point or another our life will come to an end. And the transitory nature of this life is not to be something that is a comfort to those who do not believe, but if you are here today and you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, our prayer for you out of love for you is that that would strike fear into your heart. One day, you will face the Lord Jesus Christ on His glorious throne. And He will not be the meek and mild lamb that He once was when He came here to die for our sins. But as you face Him, if you have rejected Him, He will be the just and righteous holy judge of all the earth. And He will say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So our prayer for you is, as Peter says here, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For this life is but a moment. And what Peter here, as we see in his desire, as he knows that his putting off of his body is imminent, it is soon, it is close at hand, he seeks to establish these believers, and through that us as well, more firmly in the wonderful, precious promises that our Lord Jesus Christ has made. And so the call for us, brothers and sisters, as we consider our own life with Christ, is while we have our bodies, to seek to be established more firmly in the truth. To pray to our God to give us a greater love of these promises. To hold fast to them in moments of weakness, in moments of doubt. And to pray that we would see a growth in our life of the fruit contained in these promises. So while we still have our bodies, may we seek all the more to be established in the truth. And this brings us to our second point. While we still have our bodies, live for Christ. Again, the opening question that I asked is, if you or I knew that our death was imminent, what would we do? Now we see here Peter's response. I think it right. He says in verse 13, I think it right as long as I am in this body. But then he also says in verse 15, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. You know, that phrase, I will make every effort, we also see in verse 10, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. It's the same word that we have in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. So as Peter considers that his life is imminent, he says, and I will make every effort. It's that zealous energy that an athlete has in competing for a prize that we are called to live this life of Christ that Peter here is displaying as, I will make every effort, I will zealously and exert everything that I have left to make sure that you have these things so that at any time you can remember them and recall them to mind. Now as we consider this zealousness of Peter to stir us up through this remembrance of a truth, he says also in verse 10, or as he says in verse 10, or verse 15, that after his departure we might be able to at any time recall these things. Now that phrase could refer to the letter that he has already written, 1 Peter. It could refer also to this letter, 2 Peter. It could refer to maybe a future letter that he had in mind. It kind of leads to that. Because he's writing this letter, but he says, I will make every effort so that after my departure that you may be able to at any time recall these things. There seems to be something in Peter's mind that he wanted to relate, he wanted to give the church. In early church history, viewed this as the Gospel of Mark. You know, Mark's Gospel is commonly considered, as I shared with you a couple weeks ago, the Gospel of Peter. Now, Mark was a disciple of Peter. And Mark's account is often seen as the account of the Apostle Peter. And so what we see here, taking these three books together, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and the Gospel of Mark, the Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit granting his desire to leave us with these things so that 2,000 years later we could be sitting here recalling these things. We can read these things and be stirred up by them to live our faith. But we can also look back on the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ as it is given to us through the gospel writers and see how our Lord lived and how he worked and the example that he set for us, and more importantly, that command to believe in this Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, as we consider what has been left for us, what is the example that Peter sets for us? As we consider that question, if we knew that we were going to die soon, what would we do? Well, Peter's example is to earnestly do what Christ called him to do. What Christ set him apart to do. And so as we consider this calling here, if you and I knew that tomorrow we are going to die, what would we do? If we knew that our departure was near, how would we live? I think the example here, brothers and sisters, is to look to these examples that God has given us in his word and to follow the example given to us in Peter. Because Peter here is not just glorifying himself, because he is imitating our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus do when he knew he was putting off the body soon? said, not my will, but your will be done. But brothers and sisters, isn't it the case? Isn't it the case that our end could be soon? We don't know the times that we are given. And so as we consider this question, I want to ask us another question. How would we respond to someone who knows they're going to die soon? If you're talking to a loved one, a dear friend who is at death's door, and they are talking to you and they are sharing with you something that is important, something that is urgent, something that they want to get across before their last breath is in them, how do you and I listen? Is this not what the Apostle Peter is doing here? He is saying to the church, my death is imminent. And here is what I want you to know. He wants you to know the glorious salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that it is His divine power that gives us this salvation and that gives us this fruit of salvation. And as we are assailed and assaulted, to rest more surely, not on our own strength or our own abilities, but on the great and very precious promises of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to hold fast to Him, and to have His fruit evident in us. Brothers and sisters, this is Peter's dying admonition. And as I said, we do not know when our end comes. And as the psalmist writes to us in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, he says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Brothers and sisters, our days may not stretch beyond the comforting confines of the womb, or our days may stretch well into their 90s or their early 100s. But what God teaches us is that every one of those days is written in His book. We don't know when that end comes. And that's a sobering reminder. But the comforting thing that we have, brothers and sisters, that as we consider to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, is that other missionaries who have gone to dangerous situations have said that we are truly immortal until the end comes. We can go forward with confidence in proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go forward with confidence in living out this gospel because we know that our death has already been determined by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it will happen as He has determined it will happen. That may be today. It may be years from now, but the call is to live for Him with every moment given. And so, brothers and sisters, while we have our bodies, let us seek to be established in this wonderful truth and to live our lives for Christ. Amen. Our gracious God, we thank you for the salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that by your divine power you have made known to us the great salvation that you have brought to us. And we pray, Lord, that by your divine power we would live for you and that we would bear fruit that you, Lord, are meant to bear. May we hold fast to these things, Lord, that we have in the gospel. May we be comforted by them and encouraged by them and stirred up to faithful life in Christ through the remembrance of them. And may we, Lord, as we do not know when our time comes, we do not know when the day has been set for our entrance into glory, may we live for Christ. And if there is anyone here, Lord, who does not know you, may they, Father, realize in your grace that they could die at any moment and stand before your glorious throne of judgment. May you, in your grace, convict them and bring them to Christ before that day comes. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.